Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Old Dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is the problem with property management. But before I get started, I just wanted to say hi to you guys, and just wondering what you're doing and how's it going, man? Are you moving forward with your goals and trying to get some properties under your belt? Are you managing the properties you have well? Well, I hope you're just doing great. And if you're not, hey, write to me. I encourage you guys to write to me. That's what that Ask Bill sessions are for. So if you have some questions, I'd love to hear. And maybe we can broadcast. Maybe we can even get you to say a few words on them. So if you're struggling or having some tough times, hey, you're not alone. In fact, today's show, I'm going to share a little bit of my challenges too. So I just want to encourage you and I know it gets discouraging at times, but just keep moving forward. You know, I happen to be on a road trip right now. This is a property work visit road trip where I'm visiting some of my out-of-state properties. This is something that I would encourage you to do too. I think it's a good idea to do at least once a year if you're an out-of-state investor, maybe more often, depending on your properties and how they're running and how things are going. A little tip here, okay, if you are going to do this, I don't like to be deceptive at all, but I think it's a good idea to actually go on this visit before you let your PM know, your property manager, and check out your properties first. Drive by them, see if they look like they're being taken care of, do they look okay, check a few things out, and then call your property manager and say, hey, guess who's in town? I am. Let's see if we can get together and go from there. So it's just a little tip, something you might want to consider. Well, speaking of property managers, that is the topic for today, the problem with property management. And, you know, I don't want to start off, I mean, look at the title. I kind of think, man, it sounds like I'm ragging on the property managers. And that's not my intention. In fact, the property managers I've had, even those that I've fired, and are people that I think are great people, and they're doing the best they can. We're going to talk about that as we go on. But basically, if you're an out-of-state investor, it is a requirement, really. You can't be with your properties. You got to have somebody there watching them. And some people have real estate agents or other people they know that kind of take on that role. But the bottom line is somebody's got to watch those properties if you can't be there. And I think, like I mentioned, it's a good idea to get out and to visit those properties as often as you can, just to check on them. Well, I wish I could kind of say I always take my own advice, because I don't come out nearly enough for me. I think it's a good idea to come out at least once a year, and sometimes I don't get out that often. But, you know, it always seems like when something goes a little wrong, you're a little more prompted, and that's kind of spurred this trip on. I had a number of different things happen that with my properties, and I was concerned. One of the big things is that there was a number of vacancies, and I was wondering what's happening. And a lot of times the turnover expenses were really high. Even when I asked them to break it down and I would check, I'd say, gee whiz, you know, you're charging me $150 to change a doorknob, you know. And so I got promised, I said, hey, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to make it a working trip. I'm going to go and do what I can to help turn some of these these property units over and see what I can do. And also find out a little bit more about the dynamics of what's going on, especially with the property managers and the other people that I depend on, my boots on the ground. So that's really what has been the focus of this trip. I went to Memphis, and I'm in Indianapolis. I'm about to head back home. I'm just going to share a little bit of what I discover on this trip, and some of it I already knew, but it's part of what this podcast is about, is sharing the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I don't, you know, want to emphasize the ugly, because I really think that overall rental property is a great investment. And I think it's a smart thing to do, especially if you're an old dog. But I do want to say it does have its challenges. And one of those is if you're an out-of-state investor. If you can invest in-state, you should. If you're in a state that's got, you know, all the right numbers and everything, I would do it. I can't do that in California. It doesn't make any sense for me. As you know, a lot of people are flipping and doing other things out there. And I do have friends that have, you know, properties and are buying properties that are rental properties, but the numbers just don't work for me. So I have, as a result, I have properties in different states, and I have switched property managers many times. The reasons, they vary, and I'm not going to always say it's their fault, okay? When I started investing, I started buying all C properties, and the reason I bought C properties is that there are some advantages. One, they usually have a higher ROI. Another thing is that you're going to have probably higher cash flow as well. It's easier to boost their value. You can buy properties cheap that are C properties and do some renovations and bring them up and boost their value. And with that comes an increase in equity. So there are some real key advantages to C properties, but I have found just through experience that there are also some challenges. And usually, I would say C properties require more attention than an A or B property. They also tend to be a little bit more challenging to get good tenants in them. Sometimes they're a little older buildings, so you might have maintenance issues. There are some things that just seem to go along with C properties. Sometimes you're in an area that may be okay, but not great, so you may have to deal with some of the neighborhood issues. I find that the reason that I've changed property managers so many times is I just believe that the business model for a property management company clashes with my business model for my property investment business. And I'll go into it a little bit more as I go down through this presentation, but basically, when you hire a property manager, you agree to a certain percentage of your rents that you're going to pay that person. And it could be, you know, on the, if let's say if you have large multis, it could be as low as 5 or 6% on, you know, a larger multifamily property. On a single family home, maybe it's 10, 12. I've heard of people paying 15 and 20%. Either case, it's not always a huge profit margin. Now, with a large multifamily property, yeah, they would pull enough money out of there to be able to do a lot of things like pay staff that might be on site and a lot of other things. But generally, you know, for smaller properties, you look at it and you go, for example, I have a property in Atlanta. Its rent is $1,050 a month. So that means that, and it's a 10% property management fee, so I would pay $105 a month for property management. Now, for that $105, the property management agrees to oversee my property to make sure it's okay and well-maintained. They will pay if there are utility payments to make or trash collectors, landscapers, lawnmowers. A lot of those things I usually have the tenant cover, but I'm just giving an example. But then they'll go in and do things like changing your heating filters or your AC filters or servicing your AC or heating. They'll check the properties on a regular basis, just visit them and make sure that the tenants are taking care of them and doing the right things. If you have a vacancy, they market and screen, interview, find new tenants. They make sure once you have a tenant, that the tenant's obeying the rules, that they're paying the rent. They collect the rent every month. They send me monthly detailed financial reports, and then they, you know, send me my profit after expenses. And yeah, that's all for $105. How in the world can they do that? Because that requires a lot of different people. You've got to have administrative people in place. You've got to have maintenance people. There's a lot of different things. So I'm looking at it already. I see a problem with this model. Now, if it's a Class B and A property, it may be a different situation in terms of what's required, because usually their rents are higher, so they're going to get a higher percentage. The properties don't require much work because they're already usually in pretty good shape. If it's in a good area, which usually A and B's are, the tenants are easier to find. It's a little bit less work. But for C properties, it's another story. A lot of times they're older properties. They may have frequent repairs and maintenance. Finding good tenants is hard. So sometimes property management will settle for sort of borderline tenants that could end up being an issue later on. And because maybe they're not the best tenants, you're going to have more tenant turnover. You tend to get people that come and go. And every time there's a tenant turnover, I mean, the average cost for tenant turnovers just nationwide is about $1,800. So, you know, that sometimes it's not as high, but let's say you need to get new carpet, you need to paint. I mean, right there, boom, that could be $1,800, let alone if there's any repairs to be made or things that may have been damaged by the tenant. Now, you can take some of that out of their deposit, but still, it gets very costly. You know, you've got, as I mentioned, you know, different people that staff that the property manager pays, maintenance staff, administrative people who answer phones and market and screen and do the bookkeeping, and then you got to have people to show the tenants the apartments or the houses, so the small monthly amount you see it. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. The only way I can think that they can make that up is by doing volume. So if a property manager has 300 properties that they manage, then they're hoping, okay, it's kind of a roll of the dice here. They're hoping that there is not going to be a lot of requirements other than sort of it's just some standard stuff. And if there's issues, well, they hope they can cover them with the limited staff that they have to handle issues that may take more staff. So they may, you know, a lot of them, it's very common. They take on hundreds of properties, and a lot of these guys are out of the state, even out of the country, and they're just waiting for their cash flow, you know, their monthly check. And if the property doesn't require much, it's a real simple process. You can almost automate a lot of it. But what another way that they make up for it too is that they also, they sort of have add-ons in other services they provide. Like I mentioned, if they go in and check quarterly on the property, you know, they're going to charge you for that. If they book a new tenant, they're going to charge you for that. If they book a renewal on a lease, they're going to charge you for that. If there's any kind of repairs, they're going to add on money to that. So there are other ways there, and this is where it kind of works against my plan. Is that their plan is, hey, pick up as much extra money as we can on whatever we can so that we can make up the gap here so that we can get the staff to try to provide decent service, okay? So the property management firms, I think, that become successful often move on to only handling A and B properties because it's less work and there's less requirements and they can handle more clients. But what happens, I think, is the average investor like you and I that is, just trying to survive, just trying to get their monthly cash flow income, we can often get squeezed as the PMs, the property managers, are trying to make their nut each month, okay? So all it takes is, you know, to repair a water heater, replace an AC condenser, do a few turnovers before your entire cash flow for that door or that property is eaten up. The high cost of regular maintenance or repairs can increase, and that's something you have to watch real carefully when you're managing your properties and managing your property managers. And then there's this challenge that I have that I've seen real apparent is that you're trying to get good tenants is a little bit challenging with most property managers. They don't really have the time to market it, I think, effectively enough. Yeah, you know, they'll list it on a whole bunch of different services and apartments.com and Zillow and Trulia and Craigslist and even Facebook. But the problem is the tenants will respond. They've got one or two persons sitting in the office, not a lot of people, to handle these calls. Well, you take hundreds of properties times, let's say, maybe they have, 20% of them they're looking for new tenants. I mean, and that's a lot of calls, especially if you're getting a good response. And who's going to handle those calls and the emails that come in? Are they emailing back? Are they calling back? What are they doing? It could be days before they get back to someone. And if they do, that person may have already seen a few places, maybe isn't even looking anymore. And the problem is that we've found that if you don't get that, when that first inquiry is made, if you don't respond within a 3-hour time period, the clock is ticking and you're going to be less likely to even reach that person if you're going to try to follow up with them. So it makes sense to get back to them quickly. And if they do get back to somebody and they actually, get through and they actually are able to schedule a showing for that property, okay, what happens sometimes is if you don't follow up enough with that person that's scheduled for that appointment for the showing, they can have 50, 80% no-shows on their schedulings because a lot of these people are looking at 10 different places and maybe they have only a short period of time. They take time off of work or whatever it is to see something and they're rushing around and they can't always make the appointment. There's a problem here with the model. This is one of the built-in problems that I see, and it has to do with the showings. And that is, when you've got tenants, okay, who work, it's easier for them to see a property in the evenings or on weekends, right? Well, the property management firms are closed in the evenings, and they're closed on weekends. So they only can show at a time either the person's going to take off work, which a hardworking person who is real responsible in their job wouldn't, more than likely want to take off of work to go look at a place. I mean, after all, that's the kind of tenant I want, the hardworking person that's responsible, right? Not the one who's just going to skip out of work and say they're sick or whatever. I mean, there's a problem right there in that showings don't make a lot of sense. Okay. And so, you can call up your property manager and say, hey, this has been vacant too long. And a lot of times the response comes back, well, you know, we're not getting the response we hoped we would get. I think you should probably lower your rent because we'll get more responses that way. And so, you know, a lot of times you're thinking, God, they're not really getting, maybe they are getting the responses. You have no way of knowing the total response that's happening or how well they're marketing it. And so, you know, these are a lot of sort of the breakdowns that happen. I think like in the areas of maintenance repairs, you know, they have maybe they have an in-house person or they use outside vendors. But a lot of times when that person goes to that house and they or that apartment and they do something, they just submit a bill and say that this was done. Now, are they calling up the tenant to verify that the work was done? Well, if it's something that's obvious, yes. But for example, when I went to Memphis, I looked at one of my properties. Supposedly, within the week, there was an underground water line that had broken and that had been repaired, and it cost something over $300. Okay, I drove by the property. It was supposed to be in the front area where this occurred, and there was nothing but overgrown grass, like they hadn't been cut in a while, but nothing that showed of any kind of digging or soil that had been turned up. And so how do I know that that really happened? I mean, it could have been just some outside vendor that submitted a bill to them that they could not verify. Or maybe they went on a call where somebody was having a trouble and they said, hey, there's a leak underground and it was really something under the sink. They fixed it on the sink, but they went out in the yard and pretend like they're digging around. Who knows? There's a breakdown when you've got so few people doing so much for so many properties and so many different clients. So I'm just, you know, I think this is an area that we need to really look at carefully. I'm going to throw out a couple of solutions here that I think, you know, might make sense for you that might help out. I think there's a lot of different things you can do, but here are a few that I have done myself. And one of the reasons I came out here was, for example, to cut back on turnaround costs by doing a lot of the stuff myself or pulling in people I know that cost a lot less than what they're charging. I mean, my landlord out here gave me a quote of $700 to fix some guy's door in one of my units. And I'm going, what? So anyway, here are a couple of solutions, a couple of things. One, carefully screen your property managers first. I mean, this I preach a lot on the show, and I'll have some links to some of the shows that talk about this, but I do have an article called 10 Questions that you can ask property managers when you're screening them. And I'll include some other links and in good ways to find the best property manager. But if you can upfront find somebody that's good, I think that's important. You know, of course you ask for references, but the references could be their Uncle Vinny or some best friend of theirs. I would try to do a little extra research and find buildings that they handle. Maybe go to their website and look at other buildings they handle and see if you can track down the owners of those buildings in the same way that you look for off-market properties. And contact that person and say, hey, I understand that you're with this company. What do you think of the property management firm? You know, you want to look at their financials. What's their reporting like? What kind of details do they give you? One of the things that I couldn't stand with one property manager is they would send me these bills and here'd be the maintenance. And I like to click on something and it'll have a breakdown of what that total is comprised of. So if I see, you know, $4,000 in maintenance expenses, I can click on it and it'll have a breakdown of every one of them. Then I'll click on the specific item and there'll be a receipt and a description. There'll be a bill and a description of what that expense was. So I think those are really, really key. I think also you need to, once you do pick a property manager, is to set up a monthly budget and say, this is what we want to stick to. So you can estimate what your cash flow is going to be. If maintenance costs start to exceed the estimate, and you guys work on the estimate together, if they start to exceed it, I would start to, you know, ask questions and start to say, hey, what's going on here? And maybe there was a big problem in the building or something of that nature, but you want to try to understand that and have them be held accountable to the monthly budget. Maybe even incentivize it. If they meet budget every month, they get a bonus of some type. Also, you just want to set parameters and things that you want to, you know, them to adhere to. you know, what kind of reporting, how often are you going to meet with me? I want to talk to the owner of that company, and I want to talk to him at least monthly. I want to have an agenda, and I want to go over the items, and I also want certain monthly financial reports, and I want to make sure that they can supply those. In areas of maintenance or repairs, set limits on your repairs. There's nothing wrong with that, and a lot of them have software that they can plug that in there, that anything, even as low as $100, require anything over $100 requires your approval. Over $200 requires your approval. Now, you may not want all these calls or all these emails. You might want to boost your number higher if you feel confident that they're accountable for the amounts that they say. But that's something you can do. You can also get detailed maintenance reports with phone numbers of the people who were involved, who was the outside vendor they called in, and also, you know, the number of your tenant, of course, to call to verify the work was done. You can call your tenants just, you know, randomly every now and then and say, how do you feel the property management is doing? Are they handling everything quickly? Are they responding to your inquiries and so forth? Getting good tenants, just sort of a final thing on this is that this is something we had Mil Bawa on, and he was an engineer who became a real estate investor, and he was frustrated. He had bought a building in Chicago, and I'll have a link to the podcast so you guys can listen to it, but he bought this, and it wasn't in the best South Side, and it wasn't the best apartment. And they were having trouble getting good tenants in it. So he started investigating and really digging into all of the aspects of finding a good tenant, and came up with this system that he basically just took it all offshore and had the whole thing managed by people in both India and in the Philippines, virtual assistants. But you can set up your own system. Now, this was a big apartment building, and he really had a lot more. He had, I think, a total of I don't know how many, there were like 1,000 units, and so there were a lot to screen. But some of the things that you can do on your own is, one, you can place your own ads and find out the places where the best responses are. You know, talk to other investors in the same markets and ask them where they're getting their best responses and ads. And it may be, you know, some people will say, oh, don't touch Craigslist, you're going to get the worst people. Or some will say, that's the best from here. Or Facebook or Marketplace or the different places, apartments.com, hot pads, places like that. And set up a system, okay? So when you're putting those out there, okay, that people are going to respond, and you've got to set up a system really where you can get back to them within 3 hours. Now, if you can't do it and your job doesn't allow or whatever it may be, you know, maybe try to tie somebody in there. It could be a virtual assistant. It could be someone else. And develop a script so that you can also, when you do get a hold of them, okay, if they email you, call them back. That's the first thing. It's a lot of people email them back, and sometimes you can't always call. So at least if you email them back within, you know, that 3 hour period, you're engaging, and that's important. And then eventually you can call them when you're free. But get that system set up so that you can respond quickly. Next, learn how to pre-screen. There's a lot of great articles out there and things that will talk to you about how to pre-screen a client before. Now, there are a lot of, you know, different requirements, and you don't want to cross over the bounds of some local laws and you know, various types of restrictions that are out there where you're not discriminating because someone has children or they're a particular race or whatever it may be. And so you want to make sure that your pre-screening is scripted in such a way that you're not violating and crossing over those bounds. But you can find out a lot in a pre-screen, and just by letting them talk, they'll tell you a lot about themselves and whether or not they're responsible or the kind of people that you want to have stay in your property. Coordinate with your property management, and they have an online application system, so to speak. Then that's something they might be able to, you may be able to link to, but you don't have any way to check whether they went in there and did that or not. I actually have a relationship with one of our guests through Rent Prep. And Rent Prep is a, you know, good outside service, and there's some others that do the same thing. But basically, they can do online applications. Rent Prep will screen. They'll even call their past landlords to check, you know, their history and their if there are any prior evictions. You can also check on their credit as well as criminal background all through Rent Prep. And I'll have a link to their service as well as the episode that the founder of Rent Prep was on. So that's just a few quick tips I think that'll be helpful for you. You know, as I say, property managers are not bad people. They just have a business model that makes it difficult for us to work with, because we're trying to get as much cash flow as possible. They're trying to take as much of the cash flow as they can to keep their operations going. So there are some challenges there, but I think we can work together with them. And once you find a good property manager, you know, hold on to that person and make it a good relationship and do special things for them too. You know, every holiday I would send them, you know, whatever their favorite thing was, whether it was steaks or something, or for the holiday, or you know, just gifts for the people in the office or whatever. But you want to try to maintain that relationship. You know, landlording doesn't have to be a drag. You know, we can kind of nip it in the bud, you know, those key issues. If we can get those things under control, then the rest of it is pretty easy. And you can get to the point where you have to put in very little time. I have some properties where all I have to do is just call maybe once a month and just check in with them. Others may require more, but it's up to you. If you know, do your due diligence and set up the right systems, I think it can be a lot easier for you. Well, that's it for today. Please note, old dog listeners, everything presented here today, including the links, and there will be a lot of links, can be accessed in our show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. Look for the episode entitled The Problem with Property Management. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.